This is Robert Martellacci of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology e-magazine. I have the good fortune of having a Mindshare Learning moment with Ron Canuel, the president and CEO of the Canadian Education Association, who recently hosted their national conference in Calgary. He's fresh back from Calgary. And the theme was, what's standing in the way of change in education? Mr. Canuel is the former superintendent of the Eastern Quebec Township School District and is credited for being the first to implement one-to-one computing in all of Canada. Congratulations, and thank you for joining me this afternoon, Ron.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that.
So your reflections on your conference recently. First of all, what inspired you to come up with the theme of what's standing in the way of education? We're leading. We're, you know, top five in PISA rankings globally. You know, do we need to lead more than that?
Well, that's a good question, Robert. And what happened was that with my team and I, we were thinking of what type of theme that we could bring together that would kind of like try to serve as a catalyst for discussion amongst educators and all the educational stakeholders. And the one thing that we talked about for quite some time was 21st century learning, 21st century environments, 21st century classrooms. And as you mentioned, even, you know, in my former school district in 2003, when we gave the laptops out to all the students and the teachers, I mean, that was our intent in terms of like creating this type of 21st century learning dynamic. But what we acknowledged, and what I certainly noticed, was the fact that the visioning is not the problem. It's people, you know, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of visions out there of the 21st century learning environment, dynamic, everything that we want to call it, yet we're not there. I mean, I'm just being very blunt here, we're just not there. And what we hear from people is this kind of dissatisfaction or a paradoxical type of notion of where, you know, we would want to be. And yeah, in standardized tests that come out, Canada always ranks fairly highly. But we keep encountering people who are saying that it's just not enough. And quite frankly, we agree with that it shouldn't be just enough. It's certainly not basing things on standardized tests. So that was the genesis, where we felt that, well, if the issue is one more of, well, why are we not getting there, well, why don't we just ask the question? So my team, they were the ones who formulated the question, and it came from that. So what's standing in the way of change in education became this more like a calling to stakeholders across Canada. And I'm very, very pleased to report that we got great response to that, and a lot of people showed up.
Well, yeah, you basically tripled your numbers from the year prior. You had over 300 stakeholders. That says something, doesn't it? And you hosted in Calgary, and you had the Minister Johnson give opening remarks. And what was that like?
Well, it was, you know, again, it was the setting the tone. It was good to hear Minister Johnson talk about the inspiring education program that Alberta is now initiating and going into. You know, hearing their plans in terms of what they were wanting to. So it kind of laid the groundwork again for this notion of, okay, you know, we see the vision, we've got it articulated, it's mapped out in the curriculum, the assessment forms are put together, and just where are we, and just how are we going to get there? So it did serve as a good starting, you know, a point for the discussions, and I can assure you the discussions were very, very rich.
Fantastic. Now, and I credit you for elevating the CEA brand since you've come on board and taking it to a whole new level, picking up where Penny Milton left off. And kudos to you for that.
Well, it's been a team effort, honestly, Robert, and my team has really risen as well. And I think what we see, and what Penny certainly had identified prior, just before her departure, was there's an urgency. I mean, there is this type of urgency, and certainly from the CEA point of view, this is something that we want to articulate to people, and that is, you know, when people say, well, you know, before we make any change in education, let's study it. Well, there's lots of studies that have been done about this. I mean, it's not the studying that is the issue now. Now it's the time to move forward, and certainly this is something that CEA has.
And, you know, it's a good segue to the theme of our conference, which you're speaking at next week, and that's Beyond Pockets of Innovation. It's a nice transition where, you know, we see excellence and latest technologies being implemented in regions across the country, but not in a systemic way.
That's correct. And it is time. I think, Robert, that's why I really like the theme of your conference as well, because we do have to ramp it up now. I mean, when I do speak to colleagues, former colleagues who are district leaders now, I still see some of them who I would have to say fall in the category of paralysis by analysis. I mean, they're still looking at it. They're still thinking it through, studying it. But in effect, you know, they have to take that first step. And the big difference between 2013 and 2003 when we started, I mean, in 2003, the technology was not as ubiquitous as it is now. But even more importantly, the technology nowadays and the capacity and the potential of the technology nowadays is far greater than what we had in 2003, and so, and also a lot less costly. So those barriers to entry that had been identified to me in 2003 and up until probably about 2010 are, for the most part, disappearing.
And that's a good point in terms of the notion of 21st century learning and infusing technology within each of those streams: the communication, critical thinking, global digital skills. You know, I think we're seeing this shift happen slowly, but, you know, it took smart technologies 20 years to be an overnight success, it's been said, you know. And so system-wide changes being embraced, the provinces have a role to play. I just recently participated, to Ontario's credit, they had a series of consultations about the vision, the new vision for Ontario education from great to excellence. And it sounds like it sort of parallels your conference and the mix of individual stakeholders that were there and some of the great conversations that came out of it.
You know, what was interesting in that, in the way we designed our conference in Calgary, and again, there's always room for improvement, and we certainly saw certain things that we said, okay, we'll improve upon and change, but we did make it a point of organizing tables and discussion groups so that they could meet and start to talk as quickly as possible, and we wanted to ensure that there was a broad range of stakeholders in each discussion group, and we achieved that. And what came out of that was, as I said, a lot of rich content. But most interestingly enough was the fact that the tables identified that, and I'd say the vast majority, I think there might have been one or two tables that were in the minority, but the vast majority of the tables all identified the need to conduct this restructuring of the curriculum, to conduct a restructuring of the structures. This seemed to be a very common theme, right from every table. So there was almost a given, and when Charles Fidel asked people in terms of the type of skills, and he didn't identify the skills, but he said, what were the type of characteristics that they wanted graduates to have coming out of schools? Well, they were all the skills that we've identified that are always related to inquiry-based instruction, constructivism per se, and nothing, absolutely nothing relates to the traditional models of schooling. So that was interesting to hearing the people saying that this is what we need to do. So we received this type of confirmation from them that we do need a massive restructuring.
That, again, doesn't happen overnight, does it?
No, it doesn't happen overnight, but on the other hand, it does have to start somewhere. I mean, you know, we've got to kind of tip the pendulum in a certain direction to do this. And the one thing that one of the main themes that I heard again that resonated through the teams, and so we're in the process right now, the CEA, of compiling all of this, but just a very preliminary result and something that I spoke of in my closing comments at the conference was the fact that we are going to have to create a much more trusting environment within our schools and within the education system. Right now, what we saw was that there's way too much mistrust. People just don't want to trust each other. And worse, we believe, there's not a whole lot of trusting towards teachers. And if we don't begin to trust these individuals and the professionals who are the people who are in place with the students, well, many of the type of changes we're going to try to invoke are just not going to go anywhere until we kind of create this new environment of trust. And that certainly is going to have to be an important one. And the other thing, too, is what we noted, and we're looking at this and making correlations with other, say, successful organizations or countries or even districts where you see high achievement levels. And in terms of also 21st century skill levels being developed, there's high trust and low regulation. So in other words, they're not in the process of trying to impose very strict curriculum guidelines, outcomes, per se, and allowing the teachers the opportunities to experience and, experiment, do inquiry-based context, learn in different ways, and allowing for that risk-taking, quote-unquote, if you want to say call it risk-taking, to allow for this new type of exploratory teaching to occur, which we know, and neuroscience is now also confirming, is the best way to learn.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I had the good fortune of interviewing Dr. Seymour Papert, one of the renowned constructivist theorists before his accident many years ago, and certainly inspired and influenced my thinking around how we learn best by doing. And certainly, I know you subscribe to that, and you've inspired me in many ways. And I'm constantly referring back to your research around, and you've got a lot of notoriety around student engagement and the infograph you did in the past around that, and how students, as they go through the system, are less engaged. And by the time it's hit high school, it's less than a third or so, or thereabouts.
Well, by the end, exactly, in terms of even interest and motivation, it's disconcerting. And you see, the thing that we, and thank you for bringing that up, because it is the most important component, and that is we have to look at the student intellectual engagement levels. You know, the demands right now being placed on young people coming out of educational systems are that they're supposed to be creative thinkers, they're supposed to be able to have critical judgment, you know, and people are always, you know, warning them about the internet and have, you know, developing these abilities to think and sift through information that's good information, bad information. And yet, we go around and we focus on making sure they can read, write, and count. And I strongly advocate to the fact that I think teachers are extremely capable of doing those things, which are important, but at the same time also lightening their, and I should say turning on the light of children's curiosity. I certainly have never met a teacher worth their salt who has said, no, I'm not interested, I'll just teach them how to read, write, and count.
Well, you'll be interested to note that in our EdTech survey that we're just compiling the results for an infograph that we'll be publishing for our EdTech Summit next Tuesday, is that over, I think, almost 80% of those educators who completed the survey indicated that if they had more access to technology, they would use it. So it's interesting, that whole access to tools, and like we use our tools that surround us in our desks on a regular basis. And to them, it's a luxury item.
That's right. And the Canadian Teachers Federation, in the research that they did and published last year, also indicated the fact that the teachers want to have the technology in their classrooms, yet there are just, again, way too many barriers put in place, filters, all sorts of things, and these impediments. And you know, somewhere along the line, again, we have to get back to trusting people. But also, we've got to just think differently and empower the teachers and empower the students. And I think, as a matter of fact, I'm certain of it. I'm not even going to say I think. I'll say I'm certain that if we put this environment in place, we're going to get far better results than all of a sudden going the other way by saying, no, we have to put heavy controls on people. We have to put heavy regulatory systems on people in education. And as a result, you know, things are going to get better. It's the exact opposite that we need to do.
Well, Ron, I commend you for your leadership in breaking down those barriers. It's always a pleasure to connect and collaborate with you and share. I think some of the best informal learning has come through our conversations, and you've been a mentor to me in many respects.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's very kind of you.
I know you need to run off to another meeting, so thank you again for this today, and looking forward to the report. When will that be tabled?
It's going to be probably coming out in the next couple of months.
Well, we should perhaps do another podcast, and we should do this on a regular basis. But with that, thank you again. That was Ron Canuel, the president and CEO of the Canadian Education Association. My name is Robert Martellacci of the Mindshare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.